goodness.
I messed up, threw a beer bottle through my window, and my wife let me.
You really did throw beer bottles through your window?
Yeah, and I don't even drink. I had two beers. I wasn't even drunk. I can't stand to watch this team anymore. I can't do it. My blood pressure's up, and I mean, I'm cool and I'm calm. I don't get this way, but.
When was that? When was that, if I can ask, that you threw your second beer bottle through the window? And was there, like, a glass window?
Okay, is that a Louisville fan, a Green Bay fan?
Okay. I'm sorry. This has been out on Twitter for about 2 days. I figured everybody knew. Sasquatch, what fan is that? There we go. That was a Tennessee fan from the loss to Kentucky on Saturday. He got upset. He threw his beer bottle through his window, and his wife said, "I'm leaving you. I'm out." So that is the sound from the Tennessee sports shows from the last couple of days. Because, again, no offense to Kentucky, when you get blown out at home by Kentucky, a team that you haven't lost to at home since 1984, these are the calls that you get, right?
Oh, of course. And that generation, I'm sure he's probably a little younger than us, maybe our age. But for right. SEC football fans, Kentucky and Vanderbilt are automatic W's. That is your pecking order in life. You're like, okay, at least there's Vanderbilt if you're a Kentucky fan. But now Kentucky's beating Mississippi State, beating Tennessee, hanging with Auburn.
Yep.
And they're kind of upsetting the natural order of things, and Festus couldn't handle it.
Right. Yeah, right. That's right. Well, that's exactly now, right.
And Kentucky is costing people jobs, too, because Tennessee's defensive line coach was fired after the UK game.
Wow.
Now, this is headway, though, because if you lost to Kentucky 10 years ago, that was a head coaching firing, like the next weekend. I mean, that was Monday.
Like everyone yeah. so in the now, program was fired. Like scholarship players were told not to come back.
And if you were a Kentucky coach and you won one of those games, you got a 5-year extension.
Look, it was a beat down of the Vols, and there was nothing. I mean, I watched that game. I tried to keep watching because even though it was a blowout, because they kept showing the Tennessee fans in the stands and just how sad and on their phones, and you could tell they're tweeting nasty comments mm-hmm. to whoever it was. But it was an amazing turnout for Kentucky again. 34-0 or 34-whatever it was. It was a 30-point win, I know that, at Tennessee.
Yep, that was awesome. And I never thought I'd see the day, to flip the script a little bit, when a Scott Satterfield offense would score 7 points. The defense looked like it couldn't tackle anybody. Held Notre Dame to 12 points. You thought that is a recipe for a win.
Yeah, it was and it was a little chippy during the game between Notre Dame and Louisville, but after the game, the quarterback for Notre Dame, he was very NBC, of course, called the game, and most people were like, "Is that Tony Dungy?" How many people did that
mm-hmm.
when they were watching the game and said, "Is that Tony Dungy?" And it was like, "Yes, it's an NBC game. Tony Dungy's calling a college game on Saturday, calling Louisville's game." It was Tirico and Dungy calling the game, and it was a boring game. Yeah, it was a boring game.
It was a
boring game to watch. It was not exciting.
Well, and there was no energy in the stadium either, just because Notre Dame's doing its coronavirus stuff. So, I mean, you've got this
right.
stadium that's normally packed shoulder to shoulder, and it's roaring on game day. And it, and they played the game where it looked like that they'd started it 3 hours early and the crowd didn't make it in yet just because everybody had to be spaced out. So, I mean, you take some of the energy out of Notre Dame Stadium, which is a great place to watch a game, and it just becomes just another ho-hum field.
They had the quarterback for Notre Dame was very gracious after the game. He was like, "Look, credit U of L. They came, the cards came at us, and they were aggressive, and they were great on defense." He goes, "We got lucky." So he was very gracious with the win afterwards, like a good Catholic kid does. And he was at least 12-7 is not something Notre Dame fans have. But part of the situation was the swirling wind. He mm-hmm. said he had never played in the stadium when it was like that. They had video. Tirico was showing the video of the flag, the American flag, just above. Just at the top and like 30 yards above the goal post. It was pointed left, and the goal post flags were pointed right. He goes, "That's inside the stadium." So throwing the football was not a was something that either team wanted.
Now was Touchdown Jesus raising his arms as Malik Cunningham was going back to pass, thus summoning the wind and then bringing it back down when Notre Dame was on offense?
Well, yes.
That's well, you can't Jesus even see Touchdown Jesus anymore because when they expanded Notre Dame Stadium, it blocked the view. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was a big deal when they did that. All right, but this I voted this weekend, so that's two of us on the show.
Yep.
Will, did you vote? Have you voted yet?
I'm going to vote Election Day.
Oh, okay. You're going to wait till Election Day.
I like to go because, like I said last week, I like to go over and mess with the electioneering people, the ones that go out there and hold the sign outside the door in case you've made it that far and you still have no idea who you want to pick. Yeah, which seems to me like, you know, if you're standing in line, you're going, gee, that guy with the signs really making a good point. Then you don't need to vote. You just need to go to your home and remain there.
Yeah. I went on Saturday morning, hit the gym, and then went to vote. It was a very productive day. 25 million people nationwide have already voted. I think I had the same experience as everyone that I'm following on social media. I went at a time at the fairgrounds where it was a lot of people streaming through, but I didn't wait at all. I walked in, and three-fourths of the tables were empty. You go to a table, they mm-hmm. scan your car, your ID. You walk into the fairgrounds, and I did get a feeling of patriotism. There was a good feeling that I'm doing something, and then you know, the sinking feeling of gerrymandering and all the little tricks of politics that come into it, and whether it's fair or not, it all kind of sunk in before it ended. But I checked for the first time ever my voting card three times that I had it correct. For some reason, I got OCD on this election and kind of flipped it over twice after I did it and checked it for the third time to make sure I had everything correctly marked on it.
Yep. All we can do is vote. You can get upset about it. You can live in this place where your blood is boiling every single day. But people that want power are watching things to make sure everything goes as good as it possibly can. So if you choose to live in that angry place, go right ahead. I voted. That's all I can do. And we'll see what happens.
Now, you've been in, so you were in the expo center.
Yes.
What was the, because it looks like from the video and the pictures we've seen from there, it's literally hundreds of the little voting cubicles.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, is it set up for, you know, large crowds, large
there, there's rush, no possible what... way. I don't know. First of all, it's rare that you're inside the North Wing when it's empty. Like, there's always a convention mm-hmm. going on. So you forget how massive that room is. So what I got from – and I called my mom right away. I said, Mom, don't even wait. Just go to the fairgrounds. You're not going to wait. I mean, it's insane. They're not waiting at Marriott. But the fairgrounds is massive, and it is – there's an energy to it, too, because all of the poll workers are energetic. Usually you go to vote. I vote at the church up the road usually, and it's older crowd, so sometimes they're grumpy or they're there telling, you know, barking at you what to do. This crowd was all ages, and everyone had a lot of energy. They were talking amongst themselves, and they were fired up that they were there. That's, I think, was the difference in voting to this time than any other, because there's a high energy. And look, there were people, you know, I think we all fall in this trap that all the old people are going to vote for Trump, all the, you know, the young people are voting for Biden. You start to put people in categories. That's so dumb. It's just not true. We try to stereotype every person as, oh, that's a Biden voter, that's a Trump voter, and that's just not accurate, right?
I wish I had, though, after doing the voting, I wish I had stock in a plexiglass company and Bic pens.
Yeah,
because everyone keeps their pen, because the guy before you is going to lick it and give you COVID if you touch it. So everybody has to have a pen that they keep now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Do you guys still have to use the paper ballot and the Sharpie?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah, well, so it's a paper ballot.
Those of us on this side of the river where we have casinos and sports betting and whatnot,
you know what?
We've got the touch screen ballots.
You know what?
So next time you come over here and pull the slot machine, you bought me another ballot machine and filled my funnel.
I hate you. I really do. Indiana's better in every category, and I can't even, except for football. And but it was exciting. There was some energy to the room. We felt really good about voting and getting the process done. Everyone was in a great mood. Got it done. Voted. I flipped over and I tried to read through the two, was it not referendums?
The constitutional amendments.
Yes, the amendments. And I tried to get the gist of either one of them because I didn't really do my research on that one. I just kind of read through it while I was in there, and I voted the way I voted. But that will take you a little minute if you want to read through it.
Now, here's the question I have, because Tony, I think, is a good representation of the common man. Mm-hmm. Because there was some question.
Oh, don't call him common.
Hey, now.
There was some concern that the wording of the JCPS tax question was confusing. Did it?
No.
And without, I don't care which way you went on this, but did it strike you as confusing when you saw it?
No, not as much as the other two, which were, one was a victim's advocate constitution.
And that almost passed the last time, but the verbiage was a little off, so they kind of got a little more specific with that. It'll probably pass this time. And then the other one was, you have to be a lawyer for a certain amount of time before you can be a judge. And then once you're a judge, your term, I think, is 8 years instead of six. Something along those lines were those two.
Yeah.
I thought the school tax, to answer your question, was easier to read than the other ones. So, it was pretty simple to me. So I don't think, look, no one's voting. Okay. I voted yes, but I don't, no one's voting for more taxes.
No.
I would be shocked. If that
okay, I was shocked when I saw this. I have to get your reaction. The headline is Coca-Cola is ditching its first diet drink.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, Coke Zero is putting Diet Coke out of business. That is not the case. After 60 years, Tab is going bye-bye.
I saw this, and I got to be honest with you.
Wasn't there the thing where Tab caused cancer?
No.
Okay, there was a warning. It was saccharin. That was one of the first ever before NutraSweet, and Big Sugar killed it.
Yep.
So it essentially said saccharin has been shown to cause cancer in laboratory rats.
But if you
a dump truck full for a rat is kind of the thing.
It was the first. It's the first time that Americans finally realized, wait a minute, they have fake studies and to affect what you buy? Wait a minute, what? But you didn't realize that at first. So people were like, literally thought, America thought that you would get cancer if you drank Tab. It was the dumbest thing ever. And look, I'm one of those dumb people that went, oh, don't drink that. It'll give you cancer. Who did the study?
Right.
The sugar industry.
Yeah.
And, wow, that's funny.
And Ben.
That worked out that way. I got to be honest. I didn't realize that Tab was still being produced.
No, apparently had a cult following. It started off in a pink can. They were targeted directly to women. I did not realize. By the way, you can get it through December 31st. So if you want to go ahead and hoard Tab and then decide if someone's Tab worthy, feel free to do that. But they're also ditching these other brands, and I haven't heard of these. Coca-Cola Life.
Never heard
what?
Of it.
Diet Coke Feisty Cherry.
No.
There's a joke there somewhere.
Yeah.
Odwalla and Zico Coconut Water.
Zico Coconut Water.
Those last two have to be foreign brands
because
I've never even heard of those.
The only reason I know coconut water is because Rick Pitino used to drink it and make sure it was on camera every time he was drinking out of it and had it underneath his chair when he coached at the Bell.
As he was in the drive-thru at rallies, yeah.
But I don't think he had the Coke brand. I think he had the
off-brand.
The rest of us drinking the Kroger bottled water, and then you get the one real fancy glass one with the like cursive writing on the label.
Yep,
yeah.
Like he had the fancy version of the coconut water, and the rest of us are we're getting the subpar coconuts.
Yeah, look, it's Rick Pitino. You never saw the guy at Target, okay? I mean, I remember them doing a story. This is how Rick was. This is a story. His luggage didn't get to Miami for the game, so he had to go to a store and actually buy Adidas off the rack to wear, and how shocking he had, because he never knew what just people send whatever his custom fit Adidas stuff was, so he didn't even know what size he wore. So he was going to the store.
Jeez.
He just, because if he ever needed it, he just went over to the trainer and said, I need the following things. And they just opened the Rick Pitino drawer and handed it to him.
Magically appear. I'm wondering if he ever wore the same polo twice, right?
Probably like, not.
No.
Wonder if he had yeah.
I mean, I doubt he wore the same tie twice.
Wonder if he had a shoe tire.
He couldn't get his suit dirty, so he'd have the towel right there at the end of the bench so he could kneel on it.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't get the floor dirt on his suit.
I'm laughing because that's how ridiculous that era was in U of L basketball. It was ridiculous. What's that person do? Oh, he just flushes Rick's toilet.
Right. he holds his coat while another guy opens the door for him at a steakhouse.
Right. Puts his coat on for him. I love it. All right, man. Thank you, Sasquatch. We might pull you in again a little bit later in the show, so just hang out, buddy. Thanks, bud.
All right, coffee need me.
All right, today's going to be fun. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Lance McGarvey with Lou City FC. They have won their second playoff game. That means they're in the conference finals for the sixth year in a row. And then a real pleasure at 11:35. Dennis Quaid is going to join us, Dave.
Yep.
That is going to be a lot of fun. He's in one of my favorite movies of all time, The Right Stuff. And he plays Gordon Cooper in that movie, one of the original Mercury 7 astronauts. So it's going to be cool. He's got a new song out.
Yep, we'll play that for you, too. Awesome. Very patriotic guy. It's America. I Love You, Too. Dennis Quaid and the Sharks, I think, is his band.
Cool. That sounds cool. All right, and at the bottom of the hour, how's the week going to start for trading? We'll find out right here on News Radio 840 WHAS. Dwight is out. It's Tony Vannetti and Dave Jennings on News Radio 840 WHAS.
WHAS.
Tell everybody it's crazy. George Wallace, the new Mr. Vegas, and you're listening to my best friend, Tony and Dwight.
Ya lo hace. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. Golazo.
Tony and Dave, joined by our buddy, Southside buddy, Lance McGarvey. He is the voice in the stadium at Lynn Family Stadium. And yes, Lou City FC won again 2-0. On Saturday, as they move forward in the playoffs to the sixth, you got it right, sixth conference championship in 6 years. Lance, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic, feeling pretty dang good this morning after that win over St. Louis on Saturday night.
Well, you know, people that are – I saw a definite conversation on social media that started pointing to – Lou City is not just a story here in Louisville and Cincinnati and Nashville, that in soccer, that this franchise is doing things that you're not supposed to do with a startup. And I'm calling them a startup because they're only 6 years old, Lance.
Yeah, I mean, in American soccer, it's definitely an unbelievable story. You start in 2015, and never once has Louisville City failed to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And for the last 3 years, you know, of course, making it to the USL Championship Finals, winning two of those. So, yeah, that's unheard of in any sport, and it's been pretty amazing and a fun ride. Hopefully we're just right in the middle of it.
Well, go back a little bit. I mean, when you see the Cleveland Browns start 4-1, you think, okay, I've seen this movie before. Let's see what they do at Pittsburgh. Wah, wah. So Lou City FC has a slow start after the COVID delay. And then we're thinking the fans are kind of concerned, trying to drop the scenarios to make the playoffs. I didn't sense a great deal of concern in the organization, though, after the slow start. Did you?
No, not at all. I mean, they play a really sophisticated style of soccer, and you have to be laser sharp. When you are laser sharp, it's extremely effective, obviously. And it was a little bit of a slow start, and definitely a couple of big mistakes in that first game back against Pittsburgh cost us tremendously, but you know, coach never did seem to indicate a lot of concern. But you know, there were whispers, you know, like, hey, what's going on here? Are we going to be ready to play? And in the fans' minds, I think they were saying, well, we're just happy to see soccer. It's a COVID year or whatever pandemic. Just happy to see it. They didn't mean that though. Nobody likes it when your team's losing. So, they got it together, started making the finishes and executing well. And has gone on a tremendous run. They haven't lost since July. Again, that's just unheard of. It's just been an incredible ride.
Okay, so paint the picture for folks that have not been to a game this year yet. Obviously, under COVID rules, separation, masks, all that. But they're allowed a certain percentage, which I think is close to 5,000 fans. Is that accurate? It's 4,500 or something.
Yeah, that's right. Just under 5,000. So that's
right.
About a third of the capacity. Yeah. The governor said, you know, you could have 50%, but to keep safe distancing, the team chose to only put in about 33%.
Yeah, and zero contact tracing back to a Lou City game for COVID. Just to say that. But paint everybody a picture of game day on a Saturday. That's what you've enjoyed here in the last couple of weeks.
Well, first of all, the fans are incredible. The ones that are there, and of course they've got the Groove Machine drum line, which just makes an incredible amount of noise. The fans that are there have just been incredible. And Coach talked about, you know, the energy they bring and how that helps push the team forward. But, you know, it's nothing like, I mean, nothing like it's going to be when we have 15,000 in there full capacity, hopefully in 2021 to kick off the season with Louisville City and Racing Louisville FC.
So kind of break down, Lance, the path to another title for Louisville. What's next? What's on the horizon? Any matchup issues?
Yeah, so Tampa Bay, we haven't seen them this year, which is kind of odd. Usually you see everybody in your conference home and away. But because of the pods that they had to do to kind of get creative to get a season in, we haven't seen them. And so they play actually kind of a similar style to Louisville City in the way that they score. They've got a very potent offense, but they're also extremely good defensively, very balanced team. This is going to be a heck of a challenge on Saturday night. Thankfully, at Lynn Family Stadium, I think Louisville City will have the advantage, and I look for us to move on and hopefully be able to host the USL Championship Finals there at that soccer cathedral, a brand-new stadium that hasn't really been showcased. You know, if they do win and they play in a USL Championship and we host it, that's going to be on ESPN, the big station, ESPN1. So it's kind of something to look forward to. Don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves because Tampa Bay is going to be very tough to get past.
What about the tailgating? How obviously that is one of the, it's the calling card. The game is the game, but for Lou City FC and a lot of these football clubs, the tailgating is just as good as the damn game. So, is that been going on or have they been trying to limit that?
Yeah, they couldn't do, you know, for, you know, whatever safety purposes, they couldn't have official tailgating, but come on, man, the fans are very creative. And if they're going to tailgate, they're going to tailgate. And so they found some creative ways to do that, not on the property, but when I just can't wait for everyone to see what this crowd is like once we can get a full capacity and do all the tailgating and do all that fun stuff. They're insane out there, man. You've seen them, Tony. You know they're crazy,
yeah,
dude.
I know. No, it's fun.
All right, Lance McGarvey. So Andy said half capacity is okay. If there is a title game here in the city, I mean, it's going to be the last game, so let's go halfsies, right?
Yeah, I think safety first, Dave. I mean, you know, we don't want to have any kind of super outbreak, you know, traced back to a Louisville City match. But that's up for the front office to make those decisions. You know, they have to wear their masks the entire game, no matter what the temperature is, no matter what, even though there's safe distance. You know, maybe you put a few more in. I don't think they ever go to 50% capacity this year.
Let's go 39.7%.
Squeeze every person in there you can.
Give me Lancaster. Give me somebody on offense, and then somebody on defense that is just playing lights out right now.
Oh well, Cam Lancaster has just been Mr. Automatic. I mean, he scores since every game. He has this incredible goal. He's been fantastic. In the midfield, I'd say, you know, you got to give it to all the midfield. I mean, Paolo DiPiccolo, the captain. Speedy Williams, Corbin Bone have been incredible in the midfield. Sean Tosh on the back line has had a hell of a year. But, I mean, I can't talk about any of them without saying everyone else. They've just been collectively incredible. But our goalkeeper, Ben Lunt, just had an incredible game the other night. A lot of great saves, including a penalty kick. And I would tell you that he changed the game at that moment. If St. Louis goes up on a PK early in the match, it changes the complexion of the whole game. He makes the save on a penalty kick. We score the go-ahead, you know, the first goal of the game 5 minutes later, and then go on to win 2-0. I mean, it was an unbelievable turn of events, and he was incredible. Has been all season, I would say, the best keeper in the league. So, I can't pick one player, Tony, and say it's just a collective unit that plays so incredibly well.
Okay, this has happened before, and it always happens when you have a successful organization. People start sniffing around. Anybody sniffing around Coach Hackworth yet?
Oh, I'm sure the coach offers gets inquiries all the time. I mean, I know that he loves it here, so we just have to kind of wait that out. But I really don't know anything publicly, but I'm sure that people are interested in him. And like, you know, you hear ADs saying college sports all the time. People aren't talking about your coach or asking about your coach,
yep.
Then that means they're not doing a very good job, right? You want them to be interested in your coach. But I think Hack's very, very happy here in Louisville. We've got a big thing going here, man, and he's a part of it, obviously, in a big, big way. I don't know. I can't speak for Coach Hackworth, but I think he loves it here.
Get back to that penalty kick block. That's not supposed to happen. Penalty kicks are an automatic point. So it is, I'm trying to relate it to what in any other sport, you know, a sack on a third down doesn't do it justice, to change, the momentum. Maybe.
Probably a shootout in the NHL is something that's kind of
right.
Similar.
Maybe a run back on a kick after you get scored on and then you run the kickoff back. Maybe.
How about a blocked field goal?
Yeah.
A go ahead field goal. In football,
it's, yep.
You know, 25 yards out, and you block the field goal, and a tide turns. That kind of thing. I mean, if you want to put it, you know, kind of a connection to another sport, I think that would be as close as you can get. I mean, because you're right. PKs are fairly automatic.
Yeah.
But Lunt made a heck of a stop and really did change the momentum of the game tremendously.
All right, Lance, what time is the game on Saturday? It's going to be on 790 KRD, so lock it in. What time is kick?
I believe it's 7:30.
Okay.
I haven't officially announced yet, but they have been at 7:30, and if it's not 7:30, probably be 8:00.
Awesome. All right, Lance, man, great job again, buddy, rocking it out. And again, sixth conference championship game in a row. Lance McGarvey, it's always great to talk to you. Go Lou City.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Vamos Morados.
Come on.
See.
Sí, señor. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Sixth championship game in a row. They've been around for a whopping 6 years. It's becoming, Dave, a national story because of the success here. And then when you throw in the academy, people need to realize that the academy that Lou City is building, along with the women's game that is coming next year at the highest level, but the academy is what's going to change Louisville nationally to a soccer town.
Well, and it's the kind of thing we've talked to over the years with different soccer experts, and you watch Brazil and you watch Germany and you watch some of these world powers, then you watch the U.S. national team, and as good as they can be, there's just a fluidity. There's something about European and South American soccer that we just don't seem to have, and they always go back to, it's sort of like Russian tennis players would come to Florida and live at these academies, right. Like Maria Sharapova. And they would learn the game since a very young age. And that's something that, you have youth soccer, but not quite the national academies like we're talking here.
Yeah.
So this could be kind of a groundswell to really improve national soccer as well.
Yeah, Javanon is something as close as you can get. Javanon is a club soccer team, and they practice mostly in Indianapolis. I had friends that had kids on that Javanon team, and they would drive to Indianapolis for practice.
I thought that was people that were addicted to decathlon.
No.
And they
No. No. Can you name all 10 decathlon events? No.
Is steeplechase in there?
I probably is.
Remember that's silly one where you're just running around the track and say, "Wait a minute, we're just running around the track. How about this? We'll cut across the middle and we'll jump over a hurdle into a puddle." Yeah, I like the sound of that. Let's do that.
Now my feet are wet. I'm automatically out.
The chafing. Yikes.
I can't do that. But that will change the dynamic of Louisville as a sports town, right? We're all known for basketball, but now we're producing better football players than ever, and most of the basketball players go away. But here's the situation. In basketball, it's all the wrong way they went. Was that they have all these AAU teams run by Uncle Timmy and Jimmy, and they're not exactly the best people in the world. So AAU is wrought with greed and seedy folks. No one disputes that. No one argues that at all, right? We say it on the radio for 10 years, and not one person has called and said, that's inaccurate about AAU basketball.
Well, once in a while, an AAU coach will say, well, we're not all like that now. Come on.
Right. But that mostly it's true. Soccer in Europe is how this academy is going to be run, and that's how they do it. It's an official school. It's an official campus. It's an official situation with real coaches and real schedules and real situations, right? So that's the way basketball really should go, is that if we want to make if you want to allow kids to play basketball professionally at a young age, that's fine. Nobody is touting that. But if you got to do it in the right way, you got to control it. AAU basketball is just the seedy world of basketball has ruined college basketball, and in a sense, the way you play NBA basketball. But that's another story and another topic. All right, short break. We'll come back. He's Dave. I'm Tony. You're listening to News Radio 840 WHAS. Stick around.